Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Mercedes Barba. She is a founder and owner of Mercedes and Media, which is a media enterprise dedicated to helping entrepreneurs harness the power of media to establish credibility, increase their visibility, and attract clients to their business. Pro tip, I guess, or a little heads up, Mercedes has been doing PR stuff for 15 years. Which is that's a lot of time, okay? You know, the 10,000, was it 10,000 hours, you're an expert? Like Mercedes is definitely putting the time. So I'm really excited about this because, you know, the takeaway here is that PR is for everyone. It's not reserved for the elite or anything like that. And I'm really excited to dive into the tools, strategies, and tactics that Mercedes has in store for us. How are you doing today, Mercedes?
Hi, James. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And you're so right. Media is for everyone. And I'm really excited to dive into that today with your audience.
Yeah, I am pumped for this because I think it's really fascinating and I think it's really big, you know, just to know like when you should and how to go about it and all this kind of stuff. So let's dive into it real quick. I want to hear a bit about your backstory. What made you decide to become an entrepreneur, first of all, instead of just working in a job, you know, 9 to 5? What made you decide to be like, I'm going to do my own thing and see if I can make this work? And then how did you get into helping experts and teaching people how to do PR and turn that into a business?
Yes. So great question. And hello to everybody listening. Thank you, you know, so much for being here. We're going to have a really valuable conversation today about how to leverage the media in order to grow your business and generate revenue. So a little bit about me. My name is Mercedes Barba. I founded my business last year, Mercedes and Media, where I coach entrepreneurs on how to do their own PR. Right. So I've been a journalist for 15 years. I have worked the last 9 years. I've really focused my energy in on business and entrepreneurship. I've worked in dozens of personal finance media outlets, and I have seen firsthand the power of the media. Right. I have seen firsthand how a media feature can significantly grow and change a business overnight. There's been so many entrepreneurs that I've worked with who were starting out and we featured them on our website, and now they're generating revenue. They have people coming to their newsletter signups. They doubled or tripled their following on social media, right? And now they are full entrepreneurs making six figures, many of them. So I'm here to tell a lot of the clients that I work with is that media is for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're starting off. It doesn't matter if you're running a six-figure business, right? A media feature can elevate your business. It can make you an expert in your industry. It can put you on this different platform. We'll get into this, but it's huge for search engine optimization, right? It's huge for SEO. It'll just elevate your brand that much more. And, you know, you look at all of these like multi-billion, trillion-dollar companies, right? Apple, Tesla, Amazon, they all have PR firms that they work with, right? They're always in the news. And every other company that you know has a PR firm, but publicists charge upwards of $5,000 or $8,000 a month. And a lot of our, you know, a lot of coaches and a lot of people like us can't afford $5,000, $8,000 a month, right? And so I'm here to teach you the ins and outs and the tips and the tricks to do it yourself so that you can start leveraging the media and grow your business.
Wow. So cool. Yeah, I think it is really big. And I've seen, you know, my mentors, and they kind of show you some behind the scenes of when they got some media push and it just had this huge influx in traffic to their business. Something that I am curious about and I want people to think about is like, yeah, media is awesome. Like, and you should go for it, you know, and it's great to have the accolades on your website to show your expertise and whatnot of like, I've been featured in Forbes or Entrepreneur, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of curious about when do you recommend that someone should, and how do they actually leverage this amount of traffic that they get from PR? Because I feel like a lot of people get it and then nothing happens and they're like, what happened? So yeah, what do you kind of recommend with that?
So that is such an important thing. I'm so glad you brought that up. So I have actually turned down clients before that haven't honed in on their messaging, right? They haven't honed in on their niche and their brand. Like, who is it that you're speaking to? Because if you don't know who you're talking to, then I can't create a media plan for you and leverage the audience, you know, and the media outlets that they read and that they're hanging out at. It doesn't make sense for us to work together if, you know, if this entrepreneur hasn't figured out their niche and what their brand messaging is and who exactly they're targeting. So it's super important for entrepreneurs to either work with a coach to help really figure out like who it is you're speaking with. And then at that point, let's target those specific people where they hang out, where they're reading, right? What media outlets are getting sent to their phone? Where on Apple News are they kind of clicking into? And that's the power, you know, of leveraging the media. I think that's super important. I've there's a lot of entrepreneurs where I'm like, hey, you have to really figure out your messaging first in order to do that. And yeah, that's super valuable.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think, you know, for depending on where you're at in your business, what I've learned when I get an opportunity to have like a bundle or speak at a big summit, and it's like, there's guaranteed going to be a lot of attention coming into me and my business. What you said is huge, messaging. Because if your messaging isn't on point, then like people are confused. And if people are confused, nobody's going to buy or take action. Yeah. I would say, you know, have some sort of, in terms of like prep, I think your messaging is huge. And to add to that, have a really good lead magnet, which ties into your messaging. Everything is built off of that. And that doesn't have to be hard, by the way. You know, if you hear that, you're like, oh my God, what's a lead magnet? It's just something free you give people in exchange for their email address. And if you're really getting started or want to make one fast, I would say focus on a PDF or a short video and ask yourself the question of, okay, when you know your messaging and who you help and what you help them do, think, what's a persistent problem this person faces? And how can I quickly solve that for them in a short PDF or video? Because what that'll do is when you get this big influx of traffic, then people are going to opt in, they'll be on your email list. And then pro tip, on the thank you page, right after they opt in, have a little video of you welcoming them saying, hey, thanks for hanging out and like signing up to be on this or picking up that guide. Maybe you deliver the video too. Or if you deliver a video, you can always offer this at some point, but offer to book a call with you. Or if you have a program, you can say, if you want to learn more about this, click the button below and it'll go to the sales page. And it's just like a really simple funnel, if you will, that can capitalize off the traffic. So I think that's the best way to kind of prepare.
James, you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, the second part of your question was, how do you leverage all of that traffic, right? So when we get featured in an article, right? Let's say we get featured in Business Insider, right? It'll say, James Allen, you know, there will be a quote in there, or, you know, your name will be in there, obviously, because it's a feature, whether you're a featured expert or whether it's an article about you, it'll say James Allen, right? Podcast host of Profit Your Knowledge. And that hyperlink, usually there will be a hyperlink. And if there's not, for entrepreneurs out there, if you get featured somewhere and your hyperlink is not in that story, email the journalist, email the editor, email the producer to get that feature or to get that hyperlink in there, because that is what you need, right? You need that backlink back to your website. Right. But when people click that from Business Insider, they're going to go directly to your website. And if you don't have a lead magnet, if you don't have an automatic opt-in page that pops up and grabs people's attention, they're just going to kind of quickly scroll and then they're going to leave and you'll never see them again. So it's super, super important. A lot of my entrepreneurs that I work with, I go on their website. I'm like, look, before we start pitching, you need to have your automatic opt-in page. You need to have your lead magnet visible. It has to be on brand with what we're talking about, exactly what you just mentioned, James, because it's a missed opportunity. And if you get featured in Business Insider or you get featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, you want to leverage that growth and those the clicks back to your site, and you want to grab those email addresses, right? That's mm-hmm. the goal, right? You want people to come to your newsletter so that you can throw them in a funnel and turn them into paid clients. So that's super, super important. I'm so glad that you brought that up. Lead magnets are huge, huge.
Yeah. And on a bare minimum, if you're really just getting started out and you just make a lead magnet that captures an email, that's okay. Just as long as you're capturing something instead of just like a bunch of traffic to your site, because like people aren't going to bookmark your site and come back. Most likely, you know, people are just so distracted. There's so much going on. So if you capture an email address, then you can email them bare minimum once per week and just keep staying in their circle. And they'll be like, oh yeah, that person had this really cool post and that entrepreneur thing, you know, or whatever you're getting featured in. Right. So yeah, I think that's really important, because a lot of people, they get excited about the media and stuff, and then they don't have a good back end system to actually capitalize off of it. Yeah. And I do have a video on my YouTube channel about how to create like a profitable website. And the main crux of it is building your website around a lead magnet. So like you're talking about, you get featured in media or get the backlink to your site and goes to your blog. Then you have links where people can easily see your lead magnet and be like, oh, that speaks to my persistent problem. And then they want to opt in. So it's like, it's everywhere. So people just can't hide from it. Because a lot of people say like, join our newsletter in this tiny little box.
Right, or at the bottom. Oh, I'm like,
right.
No.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like, it's okay if it's at the bottom, but also put it at the top. So it's just like everywhere.
Right. Right, right. Yeah. Put it everywhere. You know, you want, that's what you want. You want to grab people's attention. You want to direct people back to your newsletter so that you can start nurturing them, right? Put them in that nurture sequence and then turn them into paid clients. And it's, that's the power of what we do, right? The media is, I mean, we all have our phones, right? We're always constantly reading the news. At least I am. I'm sure James, you are, right? We're always, we're always reading the news. So why not be in the news, right? Why not like get your story out there? Yeah, the media can significantly change that for you.
Cool. So let's say that somebody has a goal to get in, you know, I don't know, I don't really know what's possible with this because I haven't done any like huge, big PR media stuff to date. But how do you kind of go about this? Obviously, hiring an expert like yourself would be very helpful because you're like, even what you said, like your messaging isn't right or you don't have a lead magnet. It's like, this is coming from someone who's been doing it for 15 years and knows what's up. Mm-hmm. Cause you can tell people almost like a checklist of like, you need this stuff set in place before you get out there. But if someone was going to do this on their own, which is a big piece of what you kind of help people and teach them to do, how do they go about getting featured in media? Let's say they did get the messaging set up. They did get a lead magnet and all that cool stuff to capitalize on the traffic. How do we get in touch with people? What do we say, et cetera, to land these deals?
Yeah. You know, PR, publicity, public relations, all the same thing. It is, it's an art, right? It really is. It takes a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. Usually, it takes a lot of networking, right? And connecting with people who are journalists in your industry. So what I suggest, this is what I love doing with my clients. Like when we first meet, I'm like, well, you know, we figure out the brand message. What is it that you want to get across, right? Are you a mindset coach or do you do NLP or are you a brick and mortar business? Do you want people coming to your actual place, right? Then we'll target locally. Are you a digital company, you know, where you can target nationwide, right? We got to kind of figure out like where it is you want people to direct to. And so what I like to do is I like to have my clients like open up a Google Doc or a Google Sheets. I actually like to use Airtable, super awesome, like organizational tool that I love. And it's very easy to edit and tweak and kind of make your own. But what I like to do is I like to like word vomit a bunch of media outlets, right? Oprah, Cosmo, Self, Business Insider, CNBC, right? And I like to go in there on the actual website, usually at the top right corner, there's a little search bar and you can go in there and you can search keywords to your business, right? So if you teach NLP, right? Neuro-linguistic programming, or if you are a mindset coach and you work with astrology and things like that, Google search some of those keywords and see what comes up. Read the articles, note down maybe some of the things that they talk about, maybe some of the things that are missing. And look at who the journalist is writing, right? Like look who the person is that's writing the article. Click that, you know, usually there's a clickable link on their name. It's called a byline page where it takes you to their bio. And usually there, sometimes there's an email address, right? Sometimes it'll tell you a little bit more information about where they live. I like to look them up on LinkedIn. I like to connect with them on LinkedIn. I'm working with a client right now and, we connected with a journalist on LinkedIn. And that's the only reason why she responded to an email was because she's like, oh my gosh, Mercedes, like, you know, and I had my client connect with her and they were like, oh my gosh, like, hey, I didn't see your email, but let me go look. Right. So we refreshed it to the top of that inbox. And that journalist was like, you know what? I like the story. I'm going to pitch it to my editorial team. I'll get back to you in the next couple of days. And we're like, that's a win. And that wouldn't have happened if my client didn't connect with them on LinkedIn and say, hey, journalist, oh my gosh, I see you live in New York City. I used to live in New York City, right? You really need, it's a lot about networking. You need to personalize it. There's a lot of information that you can find from someone on the internet without doing some crazy stalking, right? On my LinkedIn, it says, I went to NYU. I lived in New York. I'm from LA. You know, James, you mentioned you were just in LA this last week. That could be something that you and I could connect with. Hey, Mercedes, like I saw you wrote this really cool article on Business Insider about XYZ, you know, I also see you live in LA. I was just in LA. I was at this place and that place. And you got to make that connection and that personalization with them because I, as a journalist, am more likely to accept a pitch and to even open an email from somebody that I know, that I recognize their name, right?
Yeah.
I get, as a journalist, I get dozens of pitches in my inbox daily. And there's programs out there like Muckrack, and there's other programs out there that allow publicists to send like email blasts. And so my inbox is bombarded with emails that aren't even directly related to like what I do or what I cover. But when I see something in the subject line that's like, hey, fellow Angelino, I was just in downtown LA recently. You know, if I see something like that, or hey, fellow NYU grad, if I see something that's like personalized, I'll click it and I'll open it and I'll respond. A lot of the times my clients get really discouraged because journalists don't respond. And that's just a really bad habit that we have, but it's hard to respond to hundreds of
pitches. Oh yeah, just bombarded.
You know, and but if I get an email from James and I recognize your name, I'm like, let me respond. Let me say, you know, hey, it's not a good fit, or hey, I love it. Let's hop on a call and talk more. So it's really important to do that, to do your homework, to read the articles, to write all of this down in a Google Doc, save the links there, save the email addresses there. I like to use Airtable. I like to organize everything into like little cards.
Yeah.
And that's super valuable. That goes a long way.
Yeah. Oh, relationships are everything. And it's crazy. Yeah. It's like, it's so big. Just relationships are massive. My podcast, I build a lot of relationships through my podcast, and it's, I mean, that's a great way to, I have like big guests that get on my show every now and then because I had a guest on the show and they're like, oh, I know this person, I'd love to introduce you. And it's like, cool, that's amazing. You know? And it's like, that is the name of the game. And the crazy thing, I had someone on my guest or on my podcast recently, Richard Wileman, and he and I were talking about how it's like, it's crazy how one relationship can just explode everything in a good way or a bad way, I guess. Way. Yeah. But it's, it just takes one person who knows the right media outlet or the right other person who has access to the entire group that's going to set you up for the entire year. And you're like, what? One connection.
1000%. And look into your own network, right? Like if you are a brick and mortar business like I'm working with a client right now who's in Boulder, Colorado. And we want to target local. And, you know, the other day she's like, hey, I know someone that I think can connect me to this local news station. Should I like email them? And I'm like, yes,
absolutely.
Like, please like add, you know, CC me on it so I can kind of keep track and like be, you know, or whatever, like forward me the email later. Like it's so important to leverage those connections that you have. Same thing in business, right? Like a lot of the first clients that you get are people that you know. Right? Or people that you know need your help. And so if you know somebody that can connect you to a journalist, like, hey, I know someone that lives in New York who works for this, like call them up. See if that person's not the right fit, they can probably give you an email address to somebody else that can, or give you some sort of introduction. I'm working with a client right now that I connected with a connection of mine at Nightly News, and they're getting a feature at NBC Nightly News.
Wow.
And that's just from a connection that I introduced them to, right? So, and if this journalist at Nightly News had just gotten a random email, I probably wouldn't have gone anywhere, right? Yeah. So it's super, super important for as an entrepreneur to network with journalists, especially people that are in your niche. And that's another really important thing is like when you're sending a pitch, you want to make sure that you're sending it to the person that it falls under, right? So for example, I'm still a journalist. My vertical or what I cover is investing. I cover anything related to investing, stock market, retirement. So when someone sends me a pitch, I just got a pitch in my inbox the other day about credit cards. And I'm like, I don't cover credit cards. There's a credit card editor for that. And had you Googled credit cards, you would have seen that this person is a credit card editor. I'm the investing editor. And it says it right on my byline, right? If you click my name, edited by Mercedes Barba, you'll see that I cover investing in retirement. So make sure that you're emailing the right person, because you don't want to turn off somebody by sending them a pitch that is not in their wheelhouse.
Well, yeah. And that's like what you were just saying about like read their bio, you know, or their byline is what you were saying. It's like, it tells you.
Go on their LinkedIn, like Google search them. Oh, a big thing that I love to do is I love to go to Google and you type in the word site, S-I-T-E, colon, the publication, and then the keyword. So if I'm looking at Business Insider, I'll do site, colon, Business Insider, and then I'll type in like entrepreneurship or, you know, public relations. And Google will show you like all of the articles that come up in the search rankings that they come up normally on Google. And that's really valuable too. And like, look up, like, just like do a quick Google search and see that and look at some of the articles that are coming up and start to notice the names. Oh, okay, Mercedes Barba. Oh, look, she's connected to this investing article. Oh, she's connected to that investing article. Maybe I should pitch her something about investing, right? Or whatever it is that you do. I'm just using myself as an example because it's easy. But don't turn someone off by sending them a pitch that isn't in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. And that's just from doing a little bit of research. Yeah. It's like, I have a business coach of mine. He talks about when you're enrolling clients or you have someone coming onto your call, onto your calendar, what I used to do before I worked with them was, and this is not even for getting in PR, it's just like relationships and business in general. But if someone's considering talking with me about working together, I would just show up to the call and be like, let's figure this out. And he was like, never do that. He's like, it's okay. I mean, I have enough experience where I can do it, you know, and like, maybe you'll get lucky and it can happen. But he's like, go to their website, go to their social media, you know, try and find where they live. And he will literally Google map people's homes, which is super creepy. Yeah. But what it does is like, he sees what area they live in, if he can find it. And he can like literally walk the streets that they walk in to get a feel for what their life is like and that's see cool. Where are they at.
That gives you an extra like set of information that is super valuable.
Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Super valuable.
And that's
that's interesting.
So I added something when people book calls with me. I always ask them like, what's one thing, if like you could walk away with one thing from this call that would dramatically grow your business or help you, what would that one thing be? Just to keep it focused of like, what do they really want? But I also added, what's your main website or social media profile? Yeah. Because me as an online business coach, I want to see, are they posting content? You know, have they even started? Do they have like online courses or do they have a lead magnet? Some people don't even have that stuff. And it's like, these are all things that we can talk about and I'm prepared going into the conversation, but it's very much the same with what you're talking about. Like if I just look at your profile, I can see, oh, she's does publishing for investing. You know, I can see, oh, she lives in LA. Oh, this part of LA. Oh, you're by this really big park, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just down there. I was at that park, you know, and now these are all connection points. Yeah. So, I just hope people can really get the point that like it pays to be a little creepy, I guess.
it really does. And this is the thing too, is like, as you know, as a journalist, like I don't want to be bombarded on LinkedIn and an email and then send me an Instagram DM. Like don't bombard these journalists, but just say like, you know, if you go on LinkedIn, right, everyone has connections with everyone. Like, Hey, James, you and I know the same person. How do you know them? I used to work with them at this publication, right? Or whatever. Don't be like a creeper where you're like sending them a DM on Instagram and then you're sending them an email and then they're, you know. And one of the really important things that I just really hone in on with my clients is you have to follow up. You have to follow up on the initial email. It's super important. And when I have my Airtable set up, I have my little column where I'm like, this is what I'm pitching, right? I'm pitching today on a Monday. And then my next column is, this is what I'm following up. I'm going to follow up next Monday, right? Usually give them a week-ish to read your email and respond. I just had an expert that we use in a story for the company I work at. And she sent me a pitch and it was awesome. And I loved it and it was perfect, but I forgot. And I I have a million other things that I'm working on and I got totally distracted. And she followed up a few days later and she's like, hey, Mercedes, like, I'm just following up. Just want to see if like, it's a good fit for you. And I was like, thank you so much for following up because I would have totally forgotten. Mm. And I want to feature you because you're an expert and you're perfect. So, it's super important to follow up. I think I read a statistic recently that, you have a 45% higher chance of getting a media feature or even just getting a response if you follow up and 35% of publicists don't. Right. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, it's so, so important to follow up.
Is there any kind of, you know, cause you get these messages too. Is there a difference between follow-ups that you do respond to or that you don't, like the way that they're presented? Because I mean, in sales and stuff and enrollment, we hear this stuff, like, don't say just following up because it's like, everybody says that, or do you not really care? Maybe does it depend on the original message, but are there any kind of like turn, like green flags or red flags with a follow-up, or what do you kind of recommend someone to say when they're following up?
Yeah. Good question. So, send your pitch, follow up within a week and give them a week to respond. So I love the pitches that say, hey, Mercedes, here's a timely pitch for you. Quick headline, keep it very brief. The email, keep it super brief. Do not use like niche terms. Like, keep it like, because I'm not going to understand like very niche terms.
Like jargon.
Jargon that you understand that isn't going to be used in a headline because the mass public is not going to understand it either.
Right.
So literally write it at like an eighth grade reading level. Like, hey, Mercedes, I have a really great timely pitch for you. XYZ, you know, and I can talk about XYZ. Boom. Keep it simple. In your headline, in your subject line, use something grabby, use something timely, use something with data, do some homework. You know, one of my clients has a shoe. I'm working with a client right now who has a company about shoes, and we're talking about the cleanliness of shoes. And there's a statistic like, you know, the average typical shoe has 421,000 units of bacteria on it. Right. And like, that was like a really head grabby, like first line that we used. Actually the first line we use is like, hey journalists, I'm the one that connected with you on LinkedIn. I have a great pitch for you, right? This is my pitch. Here's a quick data and a quick fact about it. I can talk on these topics, boom, boom, boom. And then you wrap it, right? So that's your initial pitch email. A week later, you follow up and you say, hey, Mercedes, I'm just following up on the pitch. Again, you know, the average shoe contains 421,000 units of bacteria. You know, I can talk on XYZ. Please let me know within a week and give them a date if it's a good fit. If not, no worries. Like, no harm, no foul, whatever. So I like the emails that during the follow-up, I have like a deadline where it's like, if I don't hear back from you by next Monday, then I will know that you've passed. Okay, cool. And that works for me as a journalist, and that works for you as an entrepreneur, because you're not just waiting around for me.
Right.
You gave me a deadline, and like, cool, now you can move on and pitch it to CNBC, or now you can pitch it to, you know, to Entrepreneur Magazine, right? You're not like waiting around for me to send you the response. So I like emails like that.
Yeah,
definitely the personalization is key.
Yeah. Oh yeah. People are, it's all people. That's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. People are just people.
We all want to make human connections.
Right. It's funny just that you brought up the whole jargon thing. It's like, just talk to me like a person. Yeah. Just like, hey, I got this thing that's valuable. It's going to benefit you and what you guys are doing in Forbes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it will help, you know, and just be a person. I'm sure that shines through.
Yeah. And one thing that I really want to mention is where the journalism industry is heading right now is a very service-based public. It's very service-based. So when you're pitching your story, you want to make sure that there's 3 takeaways, 5 takeaways. Here are 2 things I learned as an entrepreneur. Here's one, you know, here's why wasting $10,000 on a business coach was the best thing for me, right? You want to make it a very service-heavy article so that people that are reading the article, I mean, if you go to Business Insider, every single headline is, here's what I learned. Here's how I messed up. Here are 3 things I did. Here's how I changed, right? It's all very service.
Yeah.
And so remember that service. Remember that like ultimately you're here to provide service to the audience so that people start trusting you and they start seeing you in the media. Oh, interesting. Oh, look, James got profiled again. Let me go on his site. Let me go to his newsletter, right? So then when you go to the site, there's more service because you have your lead magnet, right? It's all about service first. And remember, you know, in entrepreneurship, it's like service first, then the money comes, right? Providing service to your audience is going to get people to trust you and they're going to give you their money. Same thing in journalism, right? You want to provide that service in your article so that people read it and they're like, oh, okay, well, James knows what he's talking about. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to sign up for his newsletter, right? Super important to think about that. One like pro tip, a lot of these publications have what's called editorial guidelines. So it'll tell you exactly how to pitch them a story. It'll tell you what they're looking for, and it'll tell you what stories they're not looking for. And it usually will have a contact email. So Business Insider has this, for example. If you Google search how to pitch Business Insider, you will come up with their website with a page that says, here's how to pitch Business Insider.
From Business Insider.
From Business Insider.
They're like, this is what we want.
/how to pitch, right? And literally. And it says like, these are the articles we're looking for. These are the articles we're not. This is what we'll pay you. Cause a lot of these publications will pay you if you want to write an article for them. They'll pay you $300, $400, or $500, whatever. And so a lot of these publications have that. Business Insider has it. Self Magazine has it. There's a great public, a smaller publication called Mind Body Green. They have it. I would just Google search like how to pitch and see what comes up. A lot of the times, you'll get like third party people that will have like blogs on how to pitch, and that's really valuable too. But when it comes from the source, when it comes from Business Insider itself,
right?
You know, follow that. And a lot of it talks about service.
Yeah. I feel like following the guidelines of what they want, coupled with what we talked about earlier about finding the person who actually makes the publications and whatnot, doing it that due diligence and research, like you'll have a great foot forward. Obviously there's way more to learn, but, Mercedes, I do want to ask you, you know, you've been doing this for, for a while. You've been a publicist for over 15 years, but like you've been doing your business for over a year now, you mentioned. And, you've been saying throughout this interview of like, I have this client, then I have this client, then there's this one. So like you're working with people and you're doing the thing, which is so awesome. That's why I love having people like you on the show. Yeah. It's like, these are the people who are actually doing the stuff. Okay. I want to hear from you, you know, when you decided that I'm going to be an entrepreneur and you did this, obviously one thing you really needed to make a business was clients. How did you land your first, you know, few clients and kind of get the ball rolling with your business where you were like, okay, this is actually like a thing now?
Such a great question. I'm visible, right? I'm out here. I'm showing up every day. I'm getting on podcasts, and podcasts is an incredible thing for entrepreneurs. Like leverage podcasts, right? Podcasts are awesome. But I'm very visible. My first client was somebody that I knew that I was posting on LinkedIn. Like, Hey guys, like I'm starting this business. Like what are the problems that entrepreneurs have? I was like kind of taking some market research, and, I got a DM from someone that I've known for years. And they're like, hey, I have a business. Like, can you help me? I'm like, yeah. Like, let's hop on a discovery call. Right. When you hop on the discovery call, you know, the questions that you ask is like, how would your life change, right? How would your business change if you got featured in Forbes, right?
That's a great question.
Oh my God, you know, my life would change. Yeah. Okay. So how would that make you feel, right? Like, what is your biggest pain point right now? Not getting revenue. Okay. Right. Are you doing other types of marketing? Because journalism and media is marketing, right? Are you doing Facebook ads and how are they going? Okay. Not so well. So let's try to pivot. Let's shift the point here. Like, what are we trying to get? What is the branding that you want to get across? The messaging, who's your target audience? So it's all super important. And my first couple clients came from people I knew. So I would, you know, as they say, your network is your net worth. So I would just kind of be visible, right? Say, hey, I'm out here. I'm doing this new coaching thing. Anybody interested? Anybody want to hop on a discovery call? I'm doing market research. I just want to know some of the pain points. Mm-hmm. And those market research calls turn into clients.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's so simple. And I spent my head like spinning for so many years of like, how do I get clients? Like it took me a long time, you know, until it became a really consistent thing. And it's just about having conversations with the people that you can help about the things you can help them with.
Totally.
You know,
1,000%. And it's also a mindset thing. I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, myself included, where it's like, oh, I'm so nervous to quote unquote, take someone's money. Right. But it's a matter of like reminding yourself that you are an expert, right? You have value you're providing. You're not here to screw anybody. And it's a matter of just getting over that hump of like accepting money.
Yeah.
And I think when, you know, a lot of it is like a mindset, like mental money block. Mm-hmm. And that's super important. It's for me, what would help was journaling, was talking with other entrepreneurs who had the same mindset issue. And then just trying to get over that, like, you're not screwing people if you take their money, right? You're not. You're providing them value.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's like, how do you get somebody from point A to point B, right? If my target clients are not generating revenue, right? That's who I'm targeting. That's my target audience. That's their pain point. And so how do I get them across the bridge from point A to point B? And that's through a media feature. And that's getting them visible, having them show up, right? And you're not just gaining a media feature. You're also gaining confidence, right? It takes a lot of confidence to go out and get interviewed for a publication or to go on TV, right? Or to go on a podcast or go on Instagram Live. Like it takes a lot of confidence. So not only are you like generate, you know, generating the momentum that you need to get revenue going with a media feature, you're also gaining clients. You're also learning more about yourself, about your business, about your story. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times when I work with clients, like they're like, I want to pitch this story. And I'm like, I've read that 1,000 times. Like, that's not going to get accepted. So what else can we talk about? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I do this. Like, oh, okay. Tell me more. That's the story, right? It's not the initial one that you think. It's always you got to think outside the box. You got to think like a journalist. Think about the articles that you want to read and the service that you want.
Yeah.
And pitch that.
Yeah. Or like your own. I love that you kept saying story. And that's like, that's what journalists are looking for, stories. Yeah. And that's what you mentioned earlier. It's like, why paying, like losing 10 grand on a business coach was the best thing. I could literally, that could be my article. Like literally for me, I made a post on my YouTube channel about that. It was 11 grand though. But, and it wasn't my money. It was my dad's money. And I had to pay him back with my business, you know?
That's interesting.
That's a story. But see, this is my life experience. And another one was like, how I made 4 grand in my first week of podcasting. Another one,
really,
right? These are stories for me.
Great.
And then another one is how I was making thousands of dollars every month for my YouTube channel when I had 200 subscribers.
Whoa. See, that is all those three ideas that you said, Business Insider, like 100%. So what I would do if I were you, I would go to Business Insider and I would search podcasts. I would search coach, right? Like losing money, big mistake, right? Things like that. And read what is out there, right? And when you're pitching, think of a very service heavy, like, here's why I spent $11,000 on a business coach. And it was the worst decision, you know, it was the best decision of my life, right? You hear a lot of these stories of, and here's what I learned from it. And you know, what you can learn from it too.
Right.
You hear all these stories of like, this person was laid off and it was like the best thing that ever happened to them. But at the time it was the worst thing that ever happened to them. Right. And so it's all about like, what did you learn? What can you provide to your audience? Like what mistakes and things that you made that other people can learn from. Right. Yeah. And it's all of those are good Business Insider pitches. I would send them.
Mercedes is scouting me right now.
I know. Like if I were you, I would go to Business Insider. I would search how to pitch Business Insider, right? Yeah. Get those email addresses that are on the website because they're there for a reason. And look at Business Insider and look at the articles that they have already on mistakes, on podcasting, on, you know, things that I learned as an entrepreneur, things like that, and see what comes up.
Yeah.
YouTube, right?
Totally. And the thing too, is like, I share, those are just like a few stories in my own business. There's a lot, but those, everybody has stories like that. And I love that we kind of wrapped it up on this because that's what, it's not just facts and tactics and hacks. Like I could ChatGPT facts, tactics and hacks. Anybody can, you know, it's like, you're not an expert. Experts do the thing and they've done the thing and they have stories to tell about doing the thing. Right. And that's what makes you an expert. So the more stories you can share, and that's not just landing media, that's also your regular content. When you're speaking on a stage, like real experts share stories of their experience doing the thing that they teach, whether that's relationships, health, you know, intimacy, business, PR, whatever. Yeah. So awesome. Love it. Mercedes, it's been a ball hanging out with you. Thank you so much. Where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Yeah. So I'm really active on Instagram. Follow me on there. It's at Mercedes and Media, Mercedes and Media. And go to my website, mercedesbarba.com.
Awesome.
And if you're interested in PR, send, you know, let's book a discovery call and let's chat.
Cool. Right on. We'll put links down in the description for the listener. I think the biggest things, you know, like key takeaway and biggest thing that I kind of, you know, realized from this conversation talking about is like, think about your stories that you have. Like I shared a couple of mine, how I earned 4K in my first week of podcasting and that kind of stuff. And there's a lot to unpack in that story. A lot of these are YouTube videos, by the way, which you can go to my YouTube channel and scroll through. And that's literally the title. But if you can wrap up your own kind of stories related to whatever you do, whether it is health, relationships, you know, money, whatever you specialize in, and think like, what's the story that I've done? You know, if I've overcome and lessons learned along the way, and just like, they don't have to be groundbreaking or earth shattering, but just be inspiring and intriguing. And then, like we talked about, reaching out to the different publications, they literally tell you how to do it. If you go to Business Insider, they're like, this is what we want you to do and what we will accept. So if you don't follow these guidelines, it's a no. And then the other thing is just like doing research about who's the actual publicist, you know, and about the business and the company and the articles, the missing gaps lots of stuff to unpack in this episode. So hopefully you listen to this again a couple times. Most importantly, you do something with it, because implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We will see you in the next one.